Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips. At participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode. In this show, we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg on the Lex Fridman podcast, episode number 383. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
All right, you nerds. Before we get into the show, I just want to make a little bit of an announcement. I'm doing a pretty big adventure this summer. I'm going to be riding my bike across the country to raise money for mental health. So if that sounds cool at all, I'll have a link to my YouTube channel down below. You can go learn about that. But yeah, it is a fundraiser. So, but I'll have all the information down below. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Zuck.
Zuckerberg. Did you hear he got into jiu-jitsu?
I did, yeah.
He went to a tournament, and I think it was somewhere in California, and some of the guys I used to train with in Santa Monica were there and saw him, and obviously it was like a surprise. They didn't announce it. And one of them just sent me a picture and is like, you won't believe he's here. Got to see him train.
I would love to I would love to choke him out for
that's,
sure.
That's not a fundraiser. Well, number one, you wouldn't be able to. He would win. That would
he
be my
probably
guess.
Would.
Yeah.
He's probably got some crazy trainers.
Why
honestly.
Would you want to choke him out? What's he doing?
I'm
to
not
you?
A big fan of Mark Zuckerberg. This will be very obvious in this podcast. So I'm just going to get it out there right now. I'm not a big fan of him. I'm not a big fan of Facebook and what they've done for social media. Like, I think it's important in society, and I think it's done a lot of good things, but the direction that it's at now, I think, is not good for society.
Really?
Yeah, it's too much. It's just too much communication. Like, we don't always need to be talking to everybody. People don't always need to know what's going on in our lives, and people just spend so much time online. And the way that the systems are made, they're meant to be addictive. They're meant to... keep people engaged, and I'm just not a big fan of. I think they have their purposes and they have their uses, but just overall, as far as what they're doing in the sphere of our society, especially in Western world, I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting.
I think it's gone too far.
You're doing a fundraiser for mental health, and mental health has been connected to. Poor mental health in at least young people has been connected to levels of social media.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a big one, and I really do believe that that's one of the biggest reasons why we have so much mental health issues in not only in this country but all over the world, especially in young people, is they don't know how to use these technologies. They take them too seriously. And then people get their feelings hurt. People don't understand that people say things when they don't mean them. And aside from how people use them, I just think that the way that they're set up is such a manipulative way of keeping people engaged and having them locked into continually using these apps and services.
Right. I mean,
not that they're not useful. They are useful, but we've just become too attached to them, I think.
Well, there's like a zombie element to it, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was at my girlfriend's house the other day, and both her parents are older, obviously.
Yeah, isn't she your fiance now?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for bringing that up. It's contentious right now for me.
Sorry.
We were all sat in the front room, and, you know, they're in their 50s, and... you know, she's 28, 9, 8. This is going downhill for me with her. But the way they were scrolling, And I was doing it too, so I'm just to blame. But it was Instagram for all of us.
Yeah,
I'm sure of it. And you just get in that cycle of scrolling.
Yeah,
it went on for like 25 minutes.
Yeah,
of all of us not talking,
not talking.
A TV show was on, no one was watching.
Yeah,
and it's just like scroll, 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 scroll.
Yeah,
it's incredibly addictive. If you went back 25 years and then showed people doing that to people back then, they just couldn't understand what it would be.
Yeah.
It's like, what is happening?
There was a photographer, I can't remember his name, but he did a project of like people using their phones, but in all of the images, the phones weren't in their hands. So they were just like acting like they were looking at their phones, but there was nothing in their hands. And so it was kind of a weird, it was very strange to see people like either on a boat or like in some social gathering thing, and then they're just like looking at their hands.
Oh,
and it looks
cool.
Very, very strange when you look at it. But I mean, that's what we do all the time, but we just accept it because we're all on our phones.
Mm.
But okay, so yeah, just a preface, not a big fan of Zuckerberg. But there was some interesting conversations that came up in this one. I think the one towards the end when we started talking about the whole virtual reality thing, and obviously Facebook is going into the whole Meta thing and all that stuff, was pretty interesting to hear their take on it. And then you look at like what Apple is doing and all these other companies, but I guess they came out with a new, or they're coming out with a new VR headset, Quest, which I didn't know they were made by Facebook. I thought that was a different company, but no, they're coming out with a new one, and it's supposed to be better and this, that, the other ways, but they're trying to make it as accessible as possible for people, which is a good thing.
What do they have now? The Quest 2?
Yeah.
Right. I have that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my friend's kids have it.
Yeah.
I used it like 8 times and was like, I don't have the patience for this.
Yeah. They're kind of weird to get used to, but one of the things that they were talking about is rather than having it just be virtual, what you're looking at is it's like integrated into your what you're actually looking at. So like if I'm standing in a room, I could see the room in front of me, but then I also could have some artificial parts of the room that are added by the VR headset. Like if you wanted to just make a screen,
so it's more like AR.
Augmented
reality.
Yeah, it's more like that, but they're doing a bunch of clever ways of integrating the both of those. And he had some pretty weird use cases. He was like, yeah, if you're boxing, you know, you don't want to hit a lamp. But I was like, who the fuck is boxing with a VR headset? Like,
dude, I have a boxing game. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I haven't used a VR headset in a couple of years, so I'm sure they've gotten a lot more comfortable to wear. But I feel like it would be so hard, especially if you start like actually getting into it and you start sweating and that would just seem gross.
That's actually the downside, because you do sweat and it is gross.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. And you can kind of get a real workout. So what do I have? Creed, I think, is the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
I'm sure
you can
fun.
Definitely see how it could turn into something useful. I mean, I don't know if it could teach you boxing, really. But it's decent for cardio, and it's not the worst kind
yeah.
of attempt.
It's probably fun too.
Mm. You know what I think about AR, which is really interesting? For sure that's gonna catch on and get big.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can
We're
see
just
that.
In that middle ground where it's like
it's kinda awkward. Technology.
Everything's too big and clunky.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really integrate with the world. But a few things are gonna happen, I think, that are gonna really change our system now. One being there won't be TVs anymore. The TV industry will
yeah.
disappear, because basically it can just project any size TV you want on any wall in your AR. I mean, I guess it could float too.
Yeah.
But it's like if everyone has access to it, it's like,
and
boom.
you can sync them up
uh-huh.
and you can watch a movie together. Yeah, that's a really cool case for like, because like to go back, Apple's making one. They came out, they announced one. It's going to be $3,500. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Dude,
but they're going far, far into that, like integrating entertainment and like that augmented reality stuff into the headset. So like things like I was just quickly flipping through the page on it, but it's like basically, it's super high quality. They've gone really, really they put a lot of work into making the screen very high quality. So it's like you have like a 4K display, pretty much, and you can make it as long as you want or as big as you want, right? So you can adjust the thing. But then also, there was just a bunch of other things like, I don't know, Apple does a really good job of like cleverly integrating like design features with the software of it and stuff, but they look crazy. They like, I mean, you tell me what you think of that.
Wow.
You look like a bug.
Yeah, it's still big.
It's quite large. Yeah.
I'm going to wait for the, like, I prescribed never buying first gen anything.
Yeah, I would agree with
since
that.
Since this is their first one. Like, I'll slow down on it.
Yeah.
But if they showed any videos of what it can do?
Yeah, they have. They released it. Oh. You can't buy them yet. Not yet. But they have a they had a whole press release about it and everything. I honestly didn't look into it a lot. But one of the things that I know is that unlike the Quest and some of the other VR headsets on the market, they're not going into like gaming as much.
Okay.
So that's like not their approach. Like if you watch the thing, they didn't really talk about it that much. They're
just
very much
VR porn. That's all they're focusing on.
The most high quality VR porn. But no, they're very much focusing on like the entertainment aspect of it. Which is crazy. I mean, how nice of a television can you buy for $3,500? Probably one of the best.
Dude, yeah.
You could buy a huge...
100-inch.
You could buy a massive... 4K. I mean, even... Or just a projector. Like, honestly, you could get a crazy projector set up.
Dude, you can buy a lot of things for that much money.
Yeah.
But then also, going back to what I was saying about not having to get a TV, what else may you not need to get, like a desktop computer?
Yeah.
Imagine if you could project that with a projected keyboard, and now you can do all your work that way.
That was one thing. Another one that they talked about, which I see as actually pretty good use case, is if you're flying, you can just put on your headset. There was another company, I can't remember what it's called, but
you don't want to be the first guy to be doing that.
No, though. That would
what
be
a nerd.
That would be embarrassing. But I saw another company, they made like a pair of glasses, and they looked pretty nerdy, but they didn't look terrible. Like but that was their whole thing, was like just adding another screen. So they did clever things like you could add a separate monitor onto your computer. So you could sync it with your computer and then add a separate monitor.
That's cool.
And then like, yeah, just like watching movies on flights or stuff like that was pretty cool the way that they did that. But yeah, it's interesting to see how people are going to take the whole approach of like entertainment versus adding to people's lives. I would
project a six pack onto myself.
Yeah.
All the time, just for me to see. And I'm just like, yeah, feel good today.
That would be great.
I wonder if that, like, imagine if you know that they have those filters for like Instagram and Snapchat and stuff where people just like are hotter. It's like everyone just turns those on.
You're just like, I just no longer want to see anybody except for white people. And I just have a filter for that.
It would be so, right? But even better, do something, and I'm not saying that's good. That's a terrible idea, by the way, and racist.
I don't recommend that.
But imagine if you could like make everyone uglier.
Yeah.
Everyone you see. So like, let's say you just get intimidated by like very confident, handsome, attractive people. And it's like hard for you to socialize because of that. Like this is just like a thing that you're about. So you just make everyone look terrible. So it's like easier.
Yeah.
You could go wild with the project, make everyone look like trees, like anything you wanted.
They have like a psychedelic plugin for your VR headset where you can simulate mushrooms.
They actually do. So there's, I don't know if it's through the Quest, but there's like another one you can connect to a PC.
Yeah.
And it's like a different style, and there's like lots of more options for games. I think you can actually do it with the Quest as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you access to different games that aren't on the Quest. But there, Brian Redband, who started Rogan's podcast with him, he was the original producer of it. He's very much into this. And he was talking about one that like simulates mushrooms. It's like a mushroom trip. So you like, I think how it works is they're like preset videos, so it doesn't doesn't AR it, okay. Right? You're just kind of watching, but it's like somebody like walking around a space and everything is looks like you're shrooming.
That's very interesting.
Obviously, you don't feel like it's happening, yeah. Right?
I would be
but
interested.
But maybe it tricks your brain and does something.
Yeah, I would be interested when they integrate that with like the AR stuff so you could like put on the VR headset and then like walk around your house. And then you could just be like in virtual reality shrooming, but you're really in your house the whole time.
Yeah.
You just have like that filter.
And then you also shroom.
Yeah.
So like you double. Like double shroom.
Double.
He just goes back to normal, cancels out.
That would be crazy.
So Zuckerberg is really on Lex to push the metaverse, right? This is like, this was part of his like little press tour where.
It certainly sounds like that. I mean, again, I don't want to just hate on the dude the whole time, but whenever he would talk about AI or the stuff that Meta was working on, it, and I get it, he's a businessman, like he runs a company, but it always he would always phrase things in a way of like, yeah, we're doing this product or we're adding this service or we're like he's always like a very salesperson of him, like. Whereas I feel like when we listen to Tim Altman. The guy of OpenAI, when he was talking about it, it was more about like, oh, the technology, like the broader possibilities of it, or Sam Altman.
Uh-huh.
But he was talking about like the, it seems more, he wasn't trying to sell something as much, I don't think.
Sam definitely sounded like he was mostly just describing it.
Yeah.
And also like the thing was much bigger than him. And he's just trying to understand what it is.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like Zuckerberg, I mean, he was quick to say that he thinks that the AI stuff that they're coming out with is not as, he didn't say not as advanced. He said it's a very different approach than other ones. But as far as just parameters go, he was like, yeah, the OpenAI is way ahead of us. And there's some other ones that are way ahead of us. But he was saying that their program is a lot more efficient in what it is able to do.
Hmm.
And it also just has different use cases. But going back to what I was saying is like when he's describing all of these things, I feel like he's trying to like sell you on something. He's trying to encourage you to feel a certain way about it. He's not just explaining the technology.
Yeah.
Like especially when he was talking about the Quest, which I get like he is promoting that one. Like I understand that. But it was there was like four or five times or maybe three times where he would make a point about like a competition thing and then he would go back and say like, oh well in the Quest we're doing this or like the Quest does this better or whatever it was. Like very much salesperson.
Yeah, almost like he had some bullet points that he had to hit.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I didn't like that.
It takes away from look, there could be a few things going on here. I don't know how many podcasts he's done. So maybe he's done more of those like release things that, you know, what's his name? Tim Cook, the Apple guy. Or, yeah. You know, who's the original Apple guy? I can't believe I just blanked that.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. You know, it's more like that type of interview and release. It's like podcasting and the way it's evolved, it's very important for it to just be a conversation. Like, who are you as a person? You can talk about some things you're doing. Like, people will go on a show like Rogan's and have a book. And, you know, reference it sometimes. But most of the time, even though, like, especially with Rogan, he allows somebody to kind of hit their product or TV show or whatever.
Because he's interested in it. He's asking the questions.
100%. But most of what Rogan does is, like, what are you about? What are you into?
Yeah.
What really makes you tick? And I think, yeah, it seemed like Zux was missing a bit of that.
It was, yeah. And I mean, I think that's just because he's a weird, socially awkward dude, maybe. That's part of it. But,
probably true.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, like, and I feel like when Joe has a guest on, like, it is like, yeah, they're promoting a book or whatever, but he's like, he's interested in what they're saying, and he wants, like you said, he wants to get to know them as a person, and he is actually, like, cares about what's going on in their stuff. But
I'm curious, like, actually, did you listen to the Zux on Rogan?
I didn't know that he went on Rogan.
He went on it after Lex.
Okay, okay.
And it was Lex slightly
did one
different.
A while ago with Zuckerberg as well. I think he was the first one to have like a big podcast to have him on. I should go back and listen to the Rogan one. But it didn't feel like it definitely didn't feel like Lex was asking him questions like that. Like he wasn't asking him product questions or like trying to get him to promote stuff. He was genuinely curious about like what's going on with Facebook, the technology, like
right.
asking him questions about his opinion. And I have to say, like, there was a couple times where it was kind of annoying that he would ask him questions. Like the perfect example, I think, is when he asked him about the Twitter files, and then he just straight up doesn't answer the question. Like he kind of panders around and says, oh, there's this. Like I have a clip that we'll play.
Wait, so you don't feel like there would be consequences if, you know, anybody, the CIA, the FBI, a political party, the Democrats or the Republicans, of high, powerful political figures write emails? You don't feel pressure from suggestions?
I guess what I'd say is there's so much pressure from all sides that mm-hmm. I'm not sure that any specific thing that someone says is really adding that much more to the mix. It's there are obviously a lot of people who think that that we should be censoring more content, or there are a lot of people who think we should be censoring less content. There are, as you say, all kinds of different groups that are involved in these debates, right? So there's the kind of elected officials and politicians themselves. There's the agencies, but there's the media. There's activist groups. There's this is not a U.S. specific thing. There are groups all over the world and kind of all in every country that bring different values. So it's a very active debate, and I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that's not he wasn't asking who's in play at this. He's asking what you are doing. What is Facebook doing? Like, how do you stand on that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like we got an answer.
No, it just went around in circles.
Yeah, and because honestly, like, I don't want to get, this isn't a conspiracy theory episode or anything, but like, I don't know.
It's always a conspiracy theory episode.
we have to integrate it somehow. But yeah, like when we were talking about the Twitter files, that's a good episode, by the way. But it's like, I don't believe that Facebook was not doing this kind of stuff. Like, I think they were all doing this kind of stuff, whether or not they knew about it. But I mean, to say that they've been completely unbiased and haven't and played by the rules and like done the right thing the whole time is, I think, a naive perspective.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's just an easy out right now for people that, you know, originally controlled Twitter or Facebook or any of these big social medias to be like, you know, we're just trying to handle this at scale. Like YouTube likes to do that a lot,
yeah,
about what it demonetizes. And it just seems like the perfect scapegoat.
It
to
really
be
does.
Like, it's just too big and it's growing so fast,
yeah,
and we're just so amazed at how huge this is.
I understand that argument, like, on earlier stages, you know, like when these social networks were coming out earlier, like in early 2000s and 2010s and stuff, like that's a valid point, because
I agree.
They were really small companies, started off, and then they just exploded. And all of the big players now all have had a similar experience. So there is that stage of things. But I think where they've gotten to now, like, it's 2023. Facebook has been around since, I don't know what year. But a while.
Like 2004.
Yeah, a while. Long enough to, I think, kind of flesh out some of these things. So yeah, it's kind of annoying. But okay, so I want to go back to the Twitter thing. So that came up a little bit. Asked about Twitter. And then I guess Facebook is... He didn't confirm this, or it wasn't official. But he was talking about making some sort of a chat-based competitor to Twitter. So like a chat-based social media platform.
Okay.
That would compete with Twitter. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not sure we need that right now. Like,
drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water, but you're getting it anyway, because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, we already have Twitter.
We already have Twitter, which is not perfect, but I think it's better.
Oh, what's Trump's one, too? Truth.
Oh.
What is it called?
I don't know. He mentioned it like, or I guess that was the AI podcast that we're talking about, but he mentioned it like 5,000 times in that podcast. That one will be interesting, but yeah.
Truth Social.
Truth Social, yeah. That's,
I'd like
that's
to know
hilarious.
How many people use that.
Probably just four.
No, I bet it's like a decent amount.
Yeah, honestly, you know? It probably is.
Yeah, how many of them do we need? Like, why is this? I guess he's just looking at everything like, I need to capture as much of everyone's attention as possible. That's really what's happening.
Yeah, where it's like, I feel like there are certain companies who... look at the approach of like, oh, there's a deficit in this area. We're going to provide a service that helps people do X, Y, and Z. And that's what they're kind of making a company to do. But then there's also people who are just like, I'm just trying to make money, you know, and they just like, they do the same kind of thing, but the goal is not to provide a service and help other people. It's like, hey, we're going to create this fuel engine and we're just going to profit off of it. Which I feel like is not useful for anybody when you do that, like except for the people who are profiting from it. But very few, a lot of times when that happens, it's just like the people at the bottom who use the product get very little out of it. And then the people who are running the company or running whatever service or product it is are the ones that are profiting off of it, doing the least amount of work that they can. And so I hope that whatever possible future Facebook, Twitter thing comes out that they're developing, I hope it actually is something that can provide a service for people in a way that we haven't seen before. But I don't think just having a chat-based, like just redesigning Twitter to make it more like Instagram or whatever it is, like integrating that, I don't think that's a good idea.
I mean, look, if he wants to put a feature on Instagram, you know, that's like somehow integrated and does something else that's similar, like that's okay, you know.
Yeah, honestly, just fix Instagram. Let me tell you,
I'm gonna
go on a little bit of a tangent here, but Instagram bothers me so much. So I'm a photographer. That's what I do for profession besides this podcast, obviously. But it annoys me so much when you upload something to Instagram. If you have a high quality photo or video, it downsamples them so much and it looks terrible quality, as well as there's certain aspect ratios that you cannot post on Instagram because it won't allow you. And it's just, as the number one service for sharing and uploading images and videos go, it sucks for uploading photos and images.
Is that just
images
because
and video?
It would take too much memory if like, you know, taking those pictures.
I mean, probably there is that is definitely a concern, but I feel like the threshold that it's downsampling to now is so low compared to what it actually is being recorded at. Like,
makes sense.
And it looks like dog shit.
It seems like what they could do is just have it as an option, right? Maybe even a paid thing. Like, you pay $5 a month and you have access to like being able to upload much higher quality pictures that also people that follow you can see at that high quality.
I would pay $15 a month for that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially,
I mean, you could half as a creator, the quality yeah. of any of the shit that I put on that,
or
and
even
I'd be
just,
happy with it.
Even just make it free and make a warning like, hey, uploading at higher quality is going to use more data and slows things, or like whatever it is. And then, I don't know, but it would be weird because then everyone that looks at it on Instagram, like you upload at high quality, if they don't have their high quality viewing mode set on or whatever it was, like they would see it at low quality. So it would just be the same problem. But I feel like where phones, technology have gotten and like internet speeds in general, like data speeds, I feel like it's ridiculous how low quality of images and videos can get uploaded to Instagram.
It's kind of surprising because, you know, phones are like 4K now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're high quality. And most of everything we see is, mm-hmm. you know, it's like...
Yeah, you can't upload 4K footage to Instagram at all.
Huh.
I did not know that. Yeah, it downsamples it like crazy. So when you go to export videos, if you're doing it the correct way on... like Premiere or whatever editing software, you have to go through and set it to like a certain size. And it's like literally a quarter of the quality that it is when you capture it.
Yet it's the most like as a thing, a visual, which is what you're talking about. It's the most viewed thing, right?
Like you
Instagram,
mean,
like yeah. probably more than YouTube. I mean, who knows? Maybe
TikTok,
close.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's interesting.
But either way, it's like a lot.
One of them, yeah.
So it's primarily a visual thing, and it's not at
and it's
the best
not
quality.
A good yeah. I would love for them to improve that. Fuck making a new Twitter. Just improve Instagram, honestly. One of the things that they talked about as well, kind of in relation to Twitter a little bit, was getting rid of a lot of people, like firing people. Cleaning out. That was something that Elon did very early on with Twitter. It was just got rid of like, I don't remember what, I think like 80% or some yeah. crazy amount of.
Legend. I'm super pro Elon Musk.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like he was talking about doing kind of a similar thing at Facebook or at Meta, I guess is their overarching name for all of their shit. But, yeah, it was interesting to hear him talk about that. And then also him talk about like hiring practices and the way that they do that and stuff. He talked a lot about how internships are really, really valuable for especially new people coming in like straight out of college. If they could have like a couple month internship to kind of be evaluated and get up to speed on the way things work, he was saying that their job performance is really, really higher. Once they're hired.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean, I can understand like working at Facebook or working at a large social network is probably unlike a lot of other jobs. And as far as like the work goes and then also like communicating with all the different teams and stuff like that probably takes a bit of adjustment for yeah. most people to get used to.
Did you ever see the video of the lady that worked at Twitter that described her day?
No.
And it was like the thing that in a lot of ways probably set Elon off to like firing
oh,
everyone.
Was she like, yeah, was she like basically yeah. bragging about doing nothing?
It was like 10 meetings where they just talked about nothing. Then she had like shrimp and she took a nap. And
yeah.
He's like, I'm pretty sure you did like 2 minutes of work.
Yeah.
And then compared to like SpaceX, where he's like sleeping on the floor
yeah.
in a factory, you know, or Tesla, whatever. And, you know, doing 80 hours a week with like absolute legend engineers. He's just like, I don't know. That's not how we're going
to
do this.
Yeah, that's not a good way to run the company. And I mean, yeah, that's just crazy to me that as a, I mean, it's weird though, because like at that time, Twitter was making ungodly amounts of money. And so they probably were just like, we're just going to put our feet up. We already got this thing going. We're not going to work.
There were so many problems.
There were so many issues with it.
And there was so much work to be done. And there's one thing, and not to go on a tangent about Twitter, but like Elon, and he hasn't got a lot of press for this, positive press, and it should be, but he sorted out a lot of this child sex trafficking or like child porn stuff mm-hmm. that was like seeping in there. So there was a lot of coding. And
there was a lot of pushback from that?
No, not pushback. He, like, shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
He went in and, like, really worked hard to find it and get rid of it.
There's a lot of porn on Twitter. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that should be massively praised as, a huge thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So knowing that someone was just eating shrimp and going to, five meetings and taking a nap while that's happening.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean,
it's like, hey, how about get back to work, please?
Yeah, that's insane to me.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Talked about AI a bit on the podcast. He didn't seem as concerned about AI as I don't know if I was expecting or what, but he didn't seem that concerned. Like, he was talking about,
he's very pro his industry in general.
Yes.
I mean, when he talks about social media, which is obviously different than AI, but uses algorithms that are probably like the base part of building these systems, he's very good at creating an argument for why all of this stuff is very positive.
Yeah, and
it's
I guess
a bit disingenuous.
To go back on what I was saying earlier, he does it in a way that it sounds like he's selling you something. Like, he's like, yeah, it's cool, we have all these services and all this, that, and the other. And like, a lot of people mention that with AI and stuff, but I feel like they always preface it with like, yeah, we need to watch these concerns, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Zuckerberg, he said multiple times, he was like, yeah, I think we're pretty far from general intelligence. Like, I think where the model's at right now are fine. And he seems very, very not concerned about it. But the one thing that he did talk about with concern was the autonomy aspect of it. So, like, letting these things go out and grow on their own. He seemed like that was a bit of a concern for him, which I think is valid.
Yeah, and that was a cool bit of like reflection on that. I just have a feeling that he has more of his like own concerns, you know. And I guess probably he feels just so much of the pressure of against the systems that he works in. Like, what he is often like, why social media is bad. What was that? The Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to have like a really good elevator pitch to talk against the damages of it. He probably feels so much of that. He's just used to creating an argument against like why it's all pro. But I'd feel a lot better and trust him so much more and be possibly more curious about new products and new things that he creates. If he was like, yeah, I think there are some real problems here, and these are the ones we want to address, and this is really where AI could be dangerous. So, there just wasn't enough of that.
No, it was cool, though, to hear. I can't remember if it was his AI thing or a different person's one, but they were able to make like real-time text-to-speech translation in like over 1,000 languages.
That's cool.
Which is amazing, and I think that this technology, like AI stuff specific, but like these language-based models can be absolutely huge for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's an actual real-world use case of AI in a positive way.
How long do you think before they have an app that you just turn on and it
and
hears...
You can talk to monkeys?
No. Love that. We'll get to that. But it just hears the language and then writes the text out in English in front of you.
In a different language? Like, I talk to you in Spanish and your phone listens and
just tells me in English.
They already have that.
They do?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. In real time.
Really?
In real time it does that. And
that's
then you can talk to the phone back in your language and it will either, I think, write, or it can some of them can even speak back in a different language, like in real time.
Shit.
Yeah, Google has this. They've had this for a while in their little Pixel Buds, their little earpieces.
I heard those didn't really work well.
I actually, I think it's gotten a lot better by now. I tried it, I think it was a couple years ago, whenever they had the first generation of wireless Pixel Buds. I think they're on maybe two now, but I tried it actually, and I was very impressed. Like, it was definitely, you could tell that there was a little bit of a delay, but if I was in a different country, like, I could actually see that being useful. Like, you can actually, it works the way that it's designed to. It's not perfect, but it actually works really well.
That's going to destroy the nail salon game. Because you know when people go in there, girls are having the best time, and all those ladies in there are talking shit in Korean or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that everyone's going to know and be like, hey, that's not true, okay? I do wash my feet.
Exactly. Or when your Italian mother or your Italian mother-in-law starts going off in the kitchen about something, you could be like, oh, shit, I probably should have taken out the trash or, like, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. But, no, when are we going to get when we can talk to animals? That's what I want to know.
Mm.
Do you think we'll ever get there?
Of course. I think so. Dude, I think we are like on the verge of reading dreams.
Yeah.
So there was an experiment done recently that I was watching a whole thing on. And they were like doing an MRI on different people's brains. And they would show them a picture. And in this example, it was like a giraffe just like stood in the, you know, out in the savannah. And it would read the parts of the brain that were similar to this, and they did it with a bunch of people. And then they would put other people in, and so the AI would, like, read it, and then knowing the picture, be able to, like, connect to those images, right?
Mm-hmm.
That brain scan equals this picture. So then they would put other people in, and they would think of something or have seen a picture, and the AI could create it. Even to the point where they showed like an action video where a girl like gets pushed down a hill.
Oh, but it was able to recreate.
And it wrote the text of what happened. A girl gets pushed down the hill by just looking at brain scans.
Wow.
So that has to be very close to being able to have a dream, right? In when you're in REM, you get like an hour or maybe like a little over an hour a night, I think, according to my Whoop strap. So maybe I'm not the average, but that's what I get. During that time, it could read it, and then also with AI technology, once it has the information of what happened, it could recreate like a video of it. So it's not really like an exact interpretation.
But they were able to do that from brain scans?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they can do that now.
That's really cool.
So how close? So then, okay, talking to animals is different, but in a way, I don't know what the process could be. But it's like you introduce food to a monkey, and now it's like all the brain parts that light up that are like thinking about food or want food or like have a desire. You're like, okay, you map that, and you just run through their things. So like you see when they're angry, maps that. And it probably wouldn't be too long before.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's not a boring message. It's like, all dogs want is biscuits.
Yeah.
You're like, great. I think we knew this already.
Yeah.
And it's like, all monkeys want to do is jerk off. And you're just like, well, we could have guessed that from going to the zoo.
Or they do it in prisons with, like, inmates. And they're like, oh, no. Freaking Tyrone's about to lose one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just hope that it would be amazing if their own conversation is like, there's a lot more going on.
That would be interesting. Yeah. That would be really
cool.
They got to
do it with dolphins first, I think.
Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah.
Do it with the smart ones first, I feel like.
The smart dolphins or just dolphins are smart?
No, just smart creatures.
That's a good point.
Do it with the smart ones first.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the next 10 years is going to be very strange.
They're going to be very strange.
And this is kind of why it's important to review these sorts of discussions, because you've got two very smart guys talking to each other. I mean, you can say whatever you want about Zuckerberg, but he's a smart guy.
He's a very smart person.
Lex is 100% as well, and they're kind of on the forefront of like figuring these things out.
Yeah.
So it's good to know how they think, because it's going to guide us.
And I agree, and I feel like Lex is kind of the perfect person to interview someone like Zuckerberg, or like when he interviewed Sam Altman. Like he understands the tech stuff a lot more than I think the average podcaster does, so his questions are going to be a lot more in depth and I think focused in areas that people actually want to hear from.
I agree.
So that was nice.
So your overall takeaway, Lex and Zuckerberg, you liked Zuckerberg less or slightly more or neutral?
Honestly, I think it was about the same. I had a little bit of high expectations going into this, especially with this new AI stuff, hearing from his perspective. But like I said earlier, I think it was a lot of just like sales stuff, like the way that he was answering questions and talking about things. I mean, we did get to hear some good perspectives as far as like VR goes and AI and stuff like that. But the questions that I really wanted answered, I feel like I did not get. Like the Twitter files one, I was really upset with that. Like he just straight up didn't answer the question at all.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess I wouldn't expect him to, but...
What would you have liked him to say?
I don't know. I would just like him to say, well, I don't know. It's hard to say.
He did. I would have liked him to have taken a bit more responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and say, yeah, it looks like we made a big mistake and these are the changes. But this was the thought process instead of this is kind of vaguely the thought process. And we may actually have to continue to do it because we really didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
A little bit like that is what I
would have liked him to sound a little bit more human when he said it. Like, I swear to God, that dude's a robot. There's no way he's not a lizard or a robot.
I don't know how many memes and times Rogan has brought up Zuckerberg sipping water in front of Congress and how awkward it is.
Oh, my God, yeah. Alien.
And then Zuckerberg goes on Rogan. Like, the fact that there's no way Zuckerberg didn't know about this, like, in this conversation. And Joe didn't bring it up.
He did not?
No. I don't think so. Oh, no, he did. He did bring it up.
What did Zuckerberg
And Zuckerberg was
say?
Like, well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
There. He did bring it up. I was waiting the whole time. Like, please go bring this up. Don't you fuck this up, Rogan.
Those congressional hearings were quite entertaining, actually. They were pretty funny.
I mean, that must have sucked.
Yeah.
That's a shitload of pressure. And you're just like, oh, no.
No, it is. Oh, and also, a lot of those Congress people are fucking idiots. Like, they asked him some dumb questions.
Dude, they
like,
didn't even know what social media was.
Yeah, they had no idea. And so it was just so stupid. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Honestly, a great... metaphor of where our government is at right now.
Very true. Well, look, overall, I mean, I love that he is doing jiu-jitsu for one.
Yeah.
I think it does so much for like character and understanding and, you know, like just that. Also that he did a tournament and he's like challenged himself against just, you know, any old person that he was up against. Like, I don't know how that could change him in his actions towards social media things, but it's doing something.
Like it
makes him more like relatable. He's not just this billionaire that lives behind these giant gates with all these security and he's completely disconnected from us. It helps me bridge the gap a little bit. So I'm glad he's leaning into that.
And hearing him talk about why he was doing it or what he liked about it, I think was good because I feel like he's doing it for the right reasons. Like, I think he definitely gets the whole MMA thing. And so it was good. I think it definitely won't hurt him doing that. I think that's good for everybody.
But Meta is not, like, the metaverse is it cost them some money. People are not into it.
Yeah.
It's
why would you be? I mean, fuck, why do I want to mow a lawn in virtual reality? Like, who gives a shit about that, you know? Like,
yeah, we'll see where it goes. But anyway,
that's all we have for this week. Like I said, Lex Fridman, episode number 383. We'll have all the links in the show down below. I'll include some Mark Zuckerberg memes for you guys as well, if you want. So check that out.
Later, guys.